This is episode 47 of Paranormal Stories. And this week, the books I'm reading from are Dirty Little Secret, Confessions of an Alien Contactee by Erin Montgomery, and Past Lives in Ancient Lands and Other Worlds, Understand Your Soul's Journey Through Time by Shelley Kerr. As you may know, I produce two podcasts, the Past Lives podcast and the Alien UFO podcast, and it's here that I bring the two together. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such fascinating information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the books. And I've put links to the books in the show notes. And I did seek permission to record these extracts from the books, and the authors kindly said yes. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So the first book I'm going to read from is called Past Lives in Ancient Lands and Other Worlds, Understand Your Soul's Journey Through Time by Shelley Kerr. I'm going to start off with the chapter that's about Atlantis and what people say who've been regressed to a past life in Atlantis. And so this is what Shelley has written. We start with a section called Early Atlantis. And this is what she says. Some of the earlier accounts of Atlantis describe changes that caused great migrations. And here's a quote from somebody who was going through a past life regression in Atlantis. And this is what they say. I'm by the water. Millions and millions of years ago, Atlantis comes to mind. A storm is brewing. The oceans are rising now, and our priests warned us that something bad is coming. We don't know what to do. The next day, the ground begins to shake. The land is tearing open. My family members are swallowed up. It's horrible. I find others, and we're leaving our homeland. We've packed up and headed east over land bridges. The journey takes time. It's hard. But we know we have a duty to stay alive. We must do our best to keep going no matter the pain or suffering. This is why I came here. This is my purpose. To stay. To be. Our priests will let us know where to rebuild. We're a kind people. Loving. Hopeful. We have abilities to raise our frequencies so high we don't need much food to survive. That's not the problem. The problem is that there are fires everywhere. Volcanoes. We're running to get away from them. It's so hard. I just hope we can make it. And Shelley continues here. Accounts of the earlier days of Atlantis in spiritual literature and within past life regressions that I've done are a bit ambiguous. People were in a state of assimilation with other people because they were forced to move from one area to another due to cataclysmic events that happened. The study above sounds quite similar to others of people who said they were in Lemuria, and I am convinced that these people lived as one for at least some of these periods, particularly in the earliest days. Please understand again that none of this material can be proven. I'm merely stating my opinion after studying this over the course of many years and also from listening to so many people relay their stories. Whether such tragedies occurred in a potentially fictitious civilization or not, this idea of trauma from losing loved ones, struggling to survive, and avoiding cataclysmic earth changes are undoubtedly akin to what our forebears, the early hominids, or even the non-corporeal Lemurians, might have experienced. The difference in those kinds of cases is that the Atlanteans had more advanced knowledge, so they had the consciousness to understand that things could improve, and they could use their intellect and connection with Source to survive tough times. In reality, human beings throughout the ages likely experienced all kinds of sudden events that would have been quite jarring to the soul. Recognizing that and consciously sending healing light to such areas can be quite beneficial. And the next section is titled Middle Era and Healing in Atlantis. And this is what Shelley has written here. Fortunately, our society as a whole is beginning to embrace energy healing and the unseen aspects of the self like never before in modern times. I hope that acknowledging our energetic selves will expand through the coming years. During past life regressions, I've worked with countless people who acknowledge that at some point in their soul's journey, they served as a healer or helper to others using natural remedies and what Reiki practitioners would call universal life force. These cases could involve people living in several different periods of history. Here are several examples of some of the many who named Atlantis as the source of their healing gifts. Okay, here's the first one. This is what this person said under hypnosis. My purpose is to heal. I am continuing my purpose in my current lifetime. I'm supposed to use the frequencies of sound, crystals, and healing vibrations to help other people shift their frequency and raise vibrations. This is what I learned in Atlantis. At first, it was hard to do this in my current life because nobody understood me. I've found a new group now, though, who is of like mind. I know many of my current spiritual family were those same healers I worked with in Atlantis. We've come back together again to help the collective. Helping others heal is my purpose and responsibility in my current life, as it was back then. I'm here to help people when they first awaken. I make them feel as though they're not alone and that the new thoughts and ideas that they're feeling are okay to feel. I have a gift to help those who feel overwhelmed. All of us who lived in Atlantis, who came back now, are hoping we can help society shift. We're reaching a tipping point now. Things could go either way. We must continue to focus on bringing more light down into our awareness before things turn the other direction. I hold great hope that's still going to happen. The next quote is from somebody else who was under hypnosis. I work with dolphins. They're teaching me about sound and sonar, and they've agreed to help us raise the frequencies around the planet using their talents. Everyone here works together. The sounds help us with our construction projects. Levitation is common, and any little challenge someone may feel within the physical body can be remedied using the gift of sound. I wish we could embrace this kind of thinking in my lifetime. There's so much we could do if we could get back to the way things were back then. There are so many of us here now. I wish we could join forces and make this the norm. And on to the next quote. I'm in Atlantis. I'm wearing a long flowing white gown, walking on a man-made stone path that leads out to the edge of the water. The city is shaped in rings. The inner rings contain the temples where we worship. I'm in my mid-20s by our current standards, but we are different species in a way, different DNA. We are so tall, and we live much longer than people live these days. The temple is filled with people all singing and chanting in unison. The sounds we sing create lights of all colours. There are some who brought instruments, mainly stringed harps, flutes, drums. The music makers keep rhythm by getting into the same beat as the pulse of the planet. This is grounding some and connecting them with the earth, while others are working with the dolphins to climb into the higher frequencies. We must do both. We need to hold the space for this whole spectrum to create the colours we want. Everyone is taught how to do this. Some people are tasked with working with the crystals. We're putting our intentions through our sounds and colours into the crystals to keep them there for future use. And now back to Shelley. This is what she says. I believe every single person alive has an innate ability to heal. You may not have activated that yet in your current life, but this next journey may assist you in doing so and learning more about where your current abilities came from, whether Atlantis or elsewhere. There's a belief that I share with others that in the future, us Earthlings will begin to do more healing and rely less on the medical establishment. Learning to follow intuition and engage in positive thinking and self-care will become more important than ever before. So I'm going to read a little bit from the next section, and this is titled Final Destruction. This is what Shelley has written. The tales of Atlantis took hold in popular culture both in modern and in ancient times as an important reminder for people to care for our planet and one another so that we avoid the same cataclysmic fate. Earlier, I mentioned Plato promoting the ideal society within Athens, Greece, and the idea that the Atlanteans somehow misused power that ultimately brought about their demise. Psychic Edgar Cayce gave readings to many former Atlanteans where he promoted the idea that humanity messed up royally in the past and had a civic duty to do better this time around. Some even gave testimony during their past lives about times when they played a part in the greed and destruction of humanity. And here's a quote from somebody who was under hypnosis. Our leaders worked with frequencies and used energy to create the world around us, and we learned to create harmony and peace for all, until some decided that they wanted power for themselves. They misused the tools we've been given. I'm so upset about what I see. I try to stop them, but I'm killed trying. I hold a deep regret about my death because I had the knowledge and could have helped them, and now it's all going to be destroyed for no good reason. It's so frustrating. This situation played out in my current life. I worked for a company with a greedy owner, and he ran the business into the ground. I stepped out and warned him several times that what he was doing was wrong. He didn't care. I had to resign from the company because I felt his behaviour was completely unethical. I can see now I knew him before. He was there, one of the ones who put an end to me in Atlantis. Some people don't change much over the years. Okay, so now I'm going to move on to the next book. This is called Dirty Little Secret, Confessions of an Alien Contactee. And this is by Erin Montgomery. And this comes from a section where she talks about a hypnosis session she did to recover memories. And this is what Erin has written. I was very lucky to have met Yvonne Smith at the Roswell UFO Festival in July 2012. It was through her I joined Close Encounters Research Organization International, or CERO, her support group, and was able to go through a hypnotherapy session with her. My paranoia and inability to sleep was beginning to impact my ability to work, care for my family, or even take care of my own basic needs. I knew that Yvonne was going to be back in Roswell for the UFO festival, so I made an appointment to meet with her in the afternoon of July 4th, 2015. I was very nervous going into this session. I had never been hypnotized before. I had no idea what to expect, and so I brought a friend with me to drive just in case I was a zombie or something after the session. I was imagining myself driving into the little alien lampposts that line Roswell's main street. Yvonne put both of us at ease quickly, and we discussed the process of hypnosis and what it was we were aiming to accomplish. I was determined to pull the moment that had caused me the most trauma. I felt like I needed to go right to the source so that I could finally get some sleep. Yvonne took me back to the home my father built for the family. I was 7 years old and could even remember the nightgown that I was wearing. I saw a light coming through my window. It was so bright. I thought it was the moon. I became aware of a small being with a very pointed face standing next to the bed. I had the impression that this was a female figure, and I was comfortable with her. She touched my arm, which felt like electricity. She told me that we were going to go for a ride. It was then that I noticed two other beings in the room. They looked just like her, but I knew they were boys. One was standing by my bedroom door, which was open. The other one was at the foot of the bed. He reached out and touched my foot. Together the two held me aloft. This was fun. I felt like I was flying. They directed my body, floating, out the bedroom door. When they had me positioned in the hallway, we began to rise up towards the ceiling. To my amazement, I phased right through the ceiling, into the attic, and out through the roof. It was like my atoms were slipping between the atoms of the wood and the other building materials as we ascended. Did I know how to explain that at 7 years old? No, but reliving it, I was able to put that sensation into words. The bright light that I thought was the moon became visible as it came from the bottom of a circular craft that hovered over the house. In the beam of light, we as a group ascended higher and higher. We entered the ship through an opening on the underside where the light was being generated. The interior of the ship is smooth and rounded and metallic, like the tank on a milk truck. It felt so sterile. I was floated down the hallway and into the room that looked like an exam room. There were cabinets in the room and a chair that looked like a dentist's chair. They placed me in the chair and secured me into place. The female being stayed near me, calming me. A few minutes later, a taller entity entered the room. He was much taller than these smaller beings. His limbs, torso, and even fingers appeared so long and thin. I had difficulty focusing on his face at this point, but he felt insect-like as he had moving mouth parts like mandibles. He was wearing a black jumpsuit with red piping around the edges. As he approached me in the chair, I began to panic. The female did her best to reassure me. He produced an instrument that was like a two-pronged metal fork. He inserted something biological, pink and wiggling into the fork area. My head was restrained, my mouth opened, and the fork instrument inserted the mass into the roof of my mouth. He left quickly after, and I was released from the chair. I remember the female entity showing me the stars outside the window and pointing out Earth, far, far below. She led me back to the centre of the ship and we descended back into my bedroom and I was placed back in bed. I left the session feeling dazed. It wasn't that I was still in a hypnotic fog. It didn't work like that. I was fully awake and I was aware, more aware than I'd been perhaps ever in my life. I had witnessed the memories of my childhood self, defining memories that have essentially made me the person that I am today, trauma and all. I had my own truth, the proof of my contactee status. I really had experienced being taken onto a spaceship by alien beings, and from the familiarity of the handler being, it obviously wasn't the first time. Okay, I'm going to move on in the book now. This is to another regression, and this is what Erin has said here. It was again July that I had this regression, as that is when Yvonne Smith heads to Roswell for the annual UFO festival. My then husband accompanied me this time and observed. I was placed into hypnotic trance and regressed to this particular day. I remembered being outside in a group of people, several children, and small grey-type aliens around me. There was a sense of excitement in the air, anticipation. There were adults at the front of the group, and I remember seeing my father among them. The excitement grew and I saw the lights of a ship as it descended toward the group. There were many tall trees around us, and I heard the awful screeching sound as the ship penetrated into the tree line, shattering the trees around it. The ship landed and we slowly walked on board. I remember my feelings of fear increasing as I got closer, and I wanted to be closer to my dad, but he was quite far ahead of me in line. I was led into a room off to the left as the rest, including my father, continued ahead. There were three beings with me, as I seem to most often recall. They helped me onto a table and there were straps placed across my belly and chest. They placed a strange cone-shaped cap on my head that seemed to have electrodes coming from it. I could feel my scalp being manipulated by the energy inside. After the exam, I was helped off the table and was escorted into a different part of the ship. I was shown into a large room with a domed ceiling. The walls and ceiling appeared to be in a honeycomb pattern of red and blue beams, and the starry expanse visible in the middle of each hexagon shape. Around the room were several podiums with tall alien beings in black jumpsuits at each station. In front of the podium stood a child doing different tasks, such as manipulating blocks and levitating objects. I also saw a few small circles of children working together in groups. I was brought to my own podium and recognised the stern-feeling being behind it. He is a tall white being that I've met many times before. He instructed me on how to fly. More specifically, he was helping me to understand how to manipulate gravity in order to move myself in gravitational fields. How exhilarating is that? I remember him instructing me to focus, pay more attention, and I was just having too much fun. Finally, I brought myself back to the floor to stand before him and he taught me about the importance of being aware of the different energies around me in the world. He helped me to feel the energy as it coursed through my chakras. My body began to vibrate. At this point, Yvonne was asking me what happened next, but I was unable to move forward beyond the vibrating. The feeling became so intense that Yvonne walked me back to my safe zone, which I see as a tree, and then brought me out of the hypnosis. So this week, the books are Dirty Little Secret, Confessions of an Alien Contactee by Erin Montgomery and Past Lives in Ancient Lands and Other Worlds, Understand Your Soul's Journey Through Time by Shelley Kerr. If you want to buy the books, there is info and links in the show notes. And a great way to support this podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Past Lives Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. There's also a $12.50 Patreon tier, where every week you can get the extended episodes of the Past Lives podcast and the Alien UFO podcast extended episodes. Just go to patreon.com/pastlivespodcast or click on the button on my homepage, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And there is a Past Lives podcast Facebook group. If you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.